Right now, it is time for us to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Schramm. Of course, they are the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. Appraise this. You can find them on the web at tqag.com, Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. And if everything technically works out all right, we should hear those dulcet tones from Florida.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, they're both there. All right.
Yes, and feeling much better.
I was going to say.
Yeah. I'm none the worse for wear.
You know, I feel your pain, Greg, because today I'm of course I'm 66, and the other day somebody celebrated a birthday who became 60, and this is the terrible thing about growing old. I thought the person was way older than me.
When anybody tells me they're younger than me, like if they're turning 60, I said, call me when you hit 70.
Well, that's what I found. I was devastated to find out this person was 6 years younger.
Well, you know what? There's always somebody out there much worse off than you. So that's the good news.
I considered them old. It was like I used to be with my mother when she was in care and at Gear, and she'd sit in the hallway and she'd say, "Look at all these old people."
Oh yeah.
I had to say, "Mom, you're one of them."
No, well, I'm not. There's no way.
I know. Well, good morning, guys. What's going on?
Well, good morning. Well, we are. This is, you know, we're getting a cold front here in Florida, so we're getting, you know, just the cooler weather the next couple of days. But I'm also on my way to Orlando for a major trust and estate conference in Orlando. It's put on by the University of Miami. It's called the Heckerling Institute. It's for trust and estate continuing education classes for a number of the attorneys, accountants, people who deal with and help advise people on the issues of trusts, estates, taxes, especially with all the new tax laws and things that are going into effect. So we'll be networking and meeting. I'm meeting up with my colleagues from Gurjans, and I will see a number of my auction house colleagues and people from all over the country from various auction houses and different things. So it's the next couple days, the next 4 days will be networking. So I'll be up there. I'm driving up to Orlando. We're doing that, but also a number of just appraisals. You know, it's interesting after the holidays, how people, when they get together at the holidays, they say, you know, we need to get this appraised. We need to have this looked at. We need to find out what this is. And I know, Greg, you had some phone calls yesterday from just a number of people, didn't you?
Yes, I've had a number, and I've been booking. I'm already booking into February and March. So, you know, there's no shortage of people who want to. Because also, you know, we're coming into tax season, so people find out from their accounts, oh well, you really need to have this appraised because we might need to deduct this and deduct that. So. People are starting to call the schedule, and we're kind of rocking and rolling. And besides that, while Tim's away, we do a lot of fundraising things. And one of the things that I've decided to do this year, from the years of fundraising we've done, I've done cooking classes and a number of places for fundraisers for nonprofits. And so I've decided to put together a cookbook of all of the recipes that I use for teaching and all of the fundraising dinners that I've done. And I'm going to use it yet as another fundraising tool for all these organizations. So while he's away, I'm working on my first book.
Wow. So. Now we can put author next to your name as well. My gosh.
Well, it's like my favorite line from Auntie Mame. Patrick, why didn't you tell me your aunt was literate?
Right.
Now, you know, here's the problem about that. Half the people out there don't know what the hell you're talking about. That's just because they've never experienced it.
Right. It's interesting. But also in the news, which, you know, this is what we do. So dealing with auctions and dealing with appraisals and you know, we talk about stuff a lot, but in the news the last couple of months, all the fate of Sears, the retailer, is out there in a news article just yesterday that came out. It said the fate of Sears may rest in an auction's hands, because what they're doing is they're trying to come up with a deal, and I guess what they were doing was submitting absentee bids and taking the best and what was going on. And I think what they're trying to decide is if the current bid is going to be enough to take care of what needs to be done, or what's going to happen. So it's interesting how auction and also appraisals, because I'm sure there were a number of business appraisers that went in to have to take a look at the assets, to take a look at the name, the goodwill. And business appraisals are very different than what we do as personal property appraisals, because we're dealing with tangible objects, where business appraisals really focus on the intangible sides of the business, like the name Sears or the logo, and how recognizable that is and how desirable and how much people are going to pay for that. So it's interesting to watch how things in the business world also go along with not only the auction and appraisal side of things that we don't really hear that much about in the news, but boy, or we don't really realize how that is affecting what's happening with not only the company, but also the future of what's going to happen with the company.
Well, I think a lot of times people don't realize the different aspects of what goes on in trying to either sell a company, liquidate a company, and they don't know what goes on behind the scenes. And it's interesting now that this is happening with Sears. And I think one of the reasons that it's brought it to the front is that Sears is such an American institution that everyone wants to see it survive. So I think it's such a major news story, and a lot of, I think the majority of Americans would agree that if it would be a very sad day if Sears goes away. So I think they're making this one last ditch effort to try to save it. And I hope they can come up with something that will...
Some sort of agreement.
Now tell me, somewhere there's got to be, somewhere there has to be a Sears Roebuck sign from a store, an original store.
Sure.
What would that be worth? Would that be worth a ton of money?
Well, oh, my goodness. I would think so, but we'd have, there again, it's without, it'd be kind of like grading a diamond in the dark without actually doing the research, but...
It'll depend on what happens in the next 2 weeks. The company goes away, I think then you will have more people would say, oh, I really want that, as opposed to if it keeps going. And this is the crazy thing about what we do, is that there are a lot of news events or what happens really affects the value. I mean, that will determine, because if it does go away, then people will be more inclined to say, oh, this is really cool, where now it's in the news, people are talking about it, and I think that helps heighten it. But you know, it really will depend on what happens with the future of the company too.
But you bring up a very interesting point, and that is there has to be some sort of an archive.
Corporate
archive. So you would think that when whoever is doing the appraisal or the valuation would have to go through all of those items and see if, you know, if there is anything that's worth putting up for auction, and when it comes up for auction, how they approach it.
Here's the reason I bring that up. When Sears first started, just like when they were actually big, they first started, they were independently owned Sears, and I'm sure Sears Roebuck signs from there have been someone's got some scattered across the country, because
people don't know. What is really interesting is a Roebuck. What's that? Yeah. Because it's been Sears for so long.
Yeah.
But does the valuation and the ultimate worth, irrespective of how the people who chop it up, the liquidators,
Right.
Does the fact that it was one of the most appalling, that it's going to be a business school case study, add anything to the intangible value?
I don't think that does.
I think what adds to the value is that it does have the history, the stories that go along with it. And again, it goes back to context. We look at when you have to understand the context when you're looking at value, the context of the company and its beginnings. You know, really, when you look at all the early catalogs and all of the, I mean, it really
all
was
that,
the
historical
forefront
stuff.
of retail.
I realized as I asked that question that it came out wrong. What I'm trying to say is from the terms of memorabilia, not what everybody's, you know,
talking
not the bones
about.
That people are picking up over now, but the fact that it was just Sears developed so many brands that were intrinsic to the sort of national geist.
Right.
And I would think, or I what I'm wondering is, as this becomes, with the passage of time, as people look at this and go, oh my God, how'd they let that happen?
Right.
Whether that is going to...
I'm sorry, all I think of when I think of Sears and Roebuck, the catalogs, is my grandmother used to order her bras,
you're thinking of the
her bras, her bras and girdle.
Right, well, it was... well, before you get to girdles...
No, the girdles were kind of cool. As a kid, you see a girdle, it looked like more like a punishment than
and before that, it was even worse.
Right.
But the...
well, I remember that. What I remember is shopping for my grade school clothes and had to go to the Husky department. That's what I remember.
Go. Oh, gosh, well, the Husky. I was a Husky. I still am a Husky, but I don't admit it.
Yeah. Well,
but isn't that a nice way of putting it?
To go back, just to go back to what you were saying there, Marshall, about the signs and things, they have come up for auction, and some because of they were, as you said, independently owned, and so consequently, there wasn't like a corporate logo. Yeah. National corporate logo for a lot of these, and they were individually designed. And for example, you know, I just happened to pull up here on Live Auctioneers Sears Roebuck signs, and some of them have sold the bronze or the brass signs sold for $700. Here's one that sold for a beautiful one that looks like a globe that says Sears Roebuck and Company on a chain, and it only sold for $20 bucks in 2018. But there are all of these Sears items, and there's a parking sign here that sold for $4,250. That was so. I mean, the stuff is there, and here's a Sears service station sign that sold for $300. So I mean, that stuff is there, and people do have it. So Sears is in it's ingrained in we Americans, and it's
part of the popular culture.
That's what I was alluding to. It is because it is so. For example, you say Husky. Now, live in Connecticut, you think UConn.
I haven't heard that term because I used to get the Husky. The blue
you
jeans.
Had to.
The blue jeans were Husky. That's and my brothers always used
I
to
I just
call.
Remember my mother saying to me when I was a kid, I see this really nice pair of slacks at Bill's Men's and Boys Wear. And my mom said, oh, no, honey, you have to go to the Husky department. I can't even bear it doesn't roll off my lips even to this day 60 years later.
Well, I'm gonna go back to that. I'm gonna use the word Husky when I go shopping. You really freak out people. Where's the Husky department?
As opposed to big and tall.
I'm glad you brought that up, Tim. I completely forgot about
yes.
that.
Well, again, talk about national consciousness. That's got to be worth something. I'm sorry. That's got to be worth something.
Well, Husky will bring us out, but that was, I'm telling you, I love hearing that term again. I really do. Guys, have a good week.
Hey, you guys have a great week.
Hey,
and good luck in Orlando.
Week. Stay right. cool. Right. Stay warm.
All right, take care, guys.
Stay
Husky. All right, okay, bye. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with appraise this. You can find them at tqag.com on the web.